Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I give you thanks on this. I give you thanks on this morning. I give you thanks on this morning. Oh, that I would give thanks unto the Lord. I give thanks right now. I give thanks. I give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Have mercy. Have mercy upon us, Lord. For we are weak. Oh, Lord, heal us. Oh, Lord, my God, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation on this morning. Hearken unto me the voice of my cry, O King, and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. But all these that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, O Lord. For thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, for thou compass him as with the shield. So I thank you, O Lord. I thank you, Lord, that in thee I put my trust. I thank you, Lord. Save me from all them that persecute me. And I thank you for delivering me. Oh, Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling thou hast ordained strength. Because of thine enemies thou hast mighty steel, the enemy and the avenger. You ask the question, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And I say again, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I praise thee. Yes, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. And I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee, O Lord. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. I will sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. I will, O Lord, declare among the people your doings. I will arise, O Lord, and there will no man prevail against me. The heathen will be judged in thy sight. So I may show forth all the praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice, and I'll thank you for my salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I put my trust in you. I thank you I put my trust in you. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And I will bless thee with all that's within me today. Oh, Lord, I bless your holy name. So I say thank you for all that you're doing and what you're about to do. And I give you praise and glory on this morning, O Lord. And I give thanks unto God for your list, for my listeners. I give thanks for you. I give thanks for your ears to hear. I give thanks that God will give to you what you need on this special day, this special occasion. And we will give him glory together. We will praise him and we will thank him together. So as I move on into the lesson, I pray that this 5 minutes of thanksgiving that we have given unto the Lord, that he will show forth his glory through the word, in the matchless name of Jesus. And I say thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everyone. This is a Doctor for Jesus. Coming back another beautiful day and another podcast that glorifies the Lord. Thank God, amen, for our listeners on this morning. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank you that God is doing a great and mighty thing in the earth. And I thank him for all that he's doing. I thank him for what he's about to do. I thank him, oh God, for even the future that I don't even know about. I give him thanks. I give thanksgiving to the God who made me. I give thanksgiving to the God who has given me everything. So I pray that your thanksgiving will be a day of thanksgiving, that this will be a day of thanksgiving that you start off your week with. But I noticed that in my podcast and when I went back through that, people really enjoyed the faith series on the conceptions of faith. So I want to do and come back to you again, and we're going to talk about faith on today, because I believe that this is definitely a place or a place where a lot of people miss their totality of God and believing in God and having faith in the things of God. And I believe that this is a place where people need to sharpen their faith and need to understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So today I pray that you would, oh God, come with me along as I begin to start this day, start this week. Amen. Glory to God with the faith. And so we want to talk today about the key concepts of faith. And the foundational scripture that we're going to use today will be Hebrews 11 and 1. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, and the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So here we see most people are unaware that God is so vested in their success. I mean, God is so interested in your lives, and God is so interested in being in your life and making your life the life that, you know, that he desires and the life that he picks, of course, because he says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will, you know, open up and direct our paths. So this success, the thing that he wants to invest in our success is that he has given them, has given us the tools to success. To operate in faith is the key to our victorious life in faith. When we operate in faith, this is what gives us a victorious life of faith. Now, faith is not a foreign word to the believers. What it really means is how to operate in it is usually what we find difficult. So most people know they need faith, but are not certain how to get it. So because of this, many Christians miss a vital part of their walk with God because of their lack of faith. Faith determines everything in our lives. Faith determines if we hear God. Faith determines if we move for God. Faith determines if we walk out in the things of the unknown. Faith determines our discovering of more of the holy realm of God, or the heavenlies, and what God wants to do in the earth. It takes our faith to move things. It takes our faith to walk in places that we've never walked in before. So let's see what the Bible says about faith in your life. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:38, in the New Living Translation, it says, and my righteous ones will live by faith. Meaning, if you're righteous, you're living by faith. He says, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Okay, that speaks for itself. Mark 11:22 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And then in Luke 8:48, he says, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And then he says in Luke 12:28, he says, but if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Luke 17:5 says, the apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. So faith can be increased. As it is, as in Hebrews 11:6, it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Okay? So here we see from these representations of these scriptures that I just read a few minutes ago, it's evident that faith should play a very active role in every life, in every Christian's, or in the life of every Christian. We are destined, this is what we suppose, we are destined to live by faith. You need to go, you need God to do in your life. Everything you need God to do in your life can be acquired through faith. If you need healing, it can be acquired. If you need peace, love, and provisions, it can be acquired through faith. So before today's reading, you may have felt that you were in faith. And in some areas, you very well may be, but in others, you may not be. So let's take a little look. Let's take a moment here and perform a faith checkup. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. So that we who are believers might what? Receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:13-14. The redemptive power of God was demonstrated on the cross and redeemed humanity from living by the dictates of human ability and activity. So here he's showing us that we're not supposed to live by our own dictates. We're not supposed to live by our own human abilities or our own activities. When we live that way, that is not faith. So as a result, Christians can receive the promised Holy Spirit by faith. Faith is a universal principle that applies to every area of your life. Every principle, every promise from Scripture is received by faith. I say that again. Every principle, every promise from Scripture is received by faith. Some people are taking principle and they're trying to work the principle, but you can't work the principle without faith. Some people are trying to accomplish the promises that God has given them through the Word of God as they read the Word of God, but they are not applying the faith process to it. So, the learning to operate in faith is critical to the victorious life of faith and a journey that every person that is righteous must go through. Let's look at some simple tests to see whether you're maximizing your faith process. First, number one, do you listen to, on average, at least 1 hour of the Word daily? Faith comes by hearing. That word, hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And when you are maximizing your faith or you're intentionally saturating your faith, then you intentionally saturate them and you intentionally saturate yourself in the Word of God, then that means that you are maximizing your faith because faith only comes by hearing. The second one, do you speak God's word over your life daily? According to Mark 11:23, faith is released by the words of your mouth. Maximizers discipline themselves to speak God's word over the circumstance in their life. Are there any circumstances in your life that you're going through right now? Are there things in your life that you're not happy with? Are there things in your life that you don't know what to do with? Then you must release the word out of your mouth over that circumstance. And the third process is, do you act in agreement with what you have prayed and believed? Because a lot of times I see people, they're good at praying, they're good at quoting the word, they're good at speaking the word, they're good at preaching, but they never ever experience the faith results of that word, of that prayer, of all the things that they're doing for God and through God. They're never seeing results. Listen, people, listen really good, because if without faith, there will be no results. You'll just be doing something. You'll just be going through the motions of praying, going through the motions of quoting the word, going through the motions of not, you know, believing what you're praying, what you're reading and what you're studying and memorizing, because it just becomes a lot of words and a lot of scriptures in your mind and your head, but it has not reached a place that faith is activated. So we want to make sure that we act in agreement with what we have prayed and believed. Corresponding action is critical to experience faith results. What's corresponding action? Corresponding action is agreement. That's all it is. I must agree with every action to experience faith results. Every action that I tune in or run into or comes into my life, I have to acknowledge a faith process with it. So if you answer any no to any of these questions, it means that you need a faith booster. Walking and living by faith is not difficult, people of God. But most people don't understand how to do it, or they don't do it consistently. In either case, we are limited with results that are supposed to be seen, but we have no results. So you will never settle for the limited results. Anybody who really wants to walk by faith will never settle for limited results, because God is a big God and he wants to show you his greatness. You want to get everything that God has in store for you. And then that comes back to, and the only way you can get those things is that you have, that you get them by faith. So what is faith? Faith is the supernatural power of God made available to you, so you can transform conditions. You can transform them circumstances in your life. You can transform those situations based upon the will of God. That's what faith does. You're not in your own going to be able to transform anything so it will work to do what it needs to do in your life. You have to acknowledge the faith process in every condition, every circumstance, and every situation. So when you operate in faith, God will respect it, he will reward it, and he will respond to it. Only can we move God by faith. We can't move God by begging. We can't move God by crying. We can't move God jumping up and down and turning around three times. We cannot move God. Like, faith is the only thing that God can move. Our God is faith. So where do we find out about the supernatural power of God called faith? You guessed it. It's in the Bible. And this scripture says it. Jesus answered them, and he says, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes what he says will come to pass, and it will be done for him. Therefore, if I tell you, whatsoever you ask in prayer, it doesn't matter, whatever you ask in prayer, you'll be able to come out and you'll be able to pray it through. So you have to know that what you believe and receive from God is what comes of your life. And you would understand that this is where God would have you to be and where God would what God would have you to do. Amen. So that part right there, and I'm gonna jump from the concept of faith right there. Let's jump a little bit more. Let's talk about the communication of faith. Your words matter. Please hear me here clearly. Your words do matter, but he cannot work in those words unless you have faith to believe it. Faith without works is dead. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for who promised is faithful. When you learn about the faith process, or when you are introduced to the importance of words, you will gain a greater appreciation for the role your words play in your life you are living in today, in the life God has promised you. The power of your confession is the catalyst to victory in your life of faith. A faith confession is a statement made in agreement with God's word, independent of a natural circumstance, situation, or conditions. Let me say that one more time. A faith confession is a statement made in agreement with God's word, independent of natural circumstances, situations, and conditions. So let's look at it a little bit further. In order to live a victorious life of faith, you will quickly learn the important principle of maximizing your mouth. That is the reason why the devil shuts the mouths of the saints of God. That is the reason why the devil comes in and have us to think through our mind, which God doesn't read minds and God doesn't hear minds. And he wants people to keep to be shut up and shut down, because he knows when you begin to speak by faith, when you begin to make your confessions of hope without wavering by faith, then the devil knows that God's about to open up your promise for you. Because he knows that once you begin to speak, once you begin to know that your mouth is the power behind what God is going to do, then you will understand that a faith confession is a statement made in agreement with God's word. So as you open your mouth, as you begin to speak the word of God by faith, then God will begin to move in your circumstances. God will begin to move in your situations and your conditions. So many people many people are highly developed in victim vocabulary. In other words, we are negative talkers. Everything comes out of our mouth is negative. Everything that comes out of our thinking process is negative. Everything that comes our way, and we examine it in a very negative talk or negative way. So this makes so these people will begin to make excuses why they can't succeed, why people won't help them, why what they do ever seem to succeed. Their speech is punctuated with negatives and self-depreciating words. That's the reason why nothing is happening in some people's lives. That's all they do is murmur, gripe, and complain, and are negative in their mouth or in their words when they do open their mouth to say anything. Once you have mastered the art of talking themselves, once they have mastered the art of talking themselves out of success, when you look at their lives, that's exactly what you see. No success. And that's what has happened to the body of Christ, and that's what has happened to the church, that they are no longer activating their words by faith. They are no longer confessing for their hope, holding fast to the confession of their hope. They're not holding fast to the principles of God. And so that what God wants to do, he can't. What he's promised, he can't do it. God will never go against his word. So if you listen to these people closely, you will hear that they truly believe that what they truly believe, but negative speech becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Every time they open their mouth, they'll believe it for a minute, and then they'll open their mouth and spoil the whole thing. They'll kill what they have started. So the Bible clearly teaches that the words you speak really do matter. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So your words are spiritual containers. Your words are spiritual containers and have impact. Our words that we speak out of our mouth are the word of God that we speak out of our mouth, or any words you're speaking out of your mouth, if it's negative, what kind of impact does it begin to have on people? What kind of impact does it have on you? Most people are not taught the dynamic power of the spoken word when they were reared. You know, when you were grown, most of you have been traumatized by words. Every word that came against you, every word that was spoken into your life was a traumatizing word. A lot of you have never been spoken over any good in your life, and then they said you wasn't going to make it. You're going to be like your daddy, and you're going to be like your mama. You ain't going to never be nothing. You've heard these words from the moment you exit the womb of your mama's belly. And so that's the process that God is trying to let us know and understand, that we have to kill the negative words that are coming out of our mouths. So these negative speeches become self-fulfilling prophecies. Not only were we spoken over our lives as children, as adults, and as we came up to where we are now, and even some of us are in church, and we're still speaking those same negative words that have been spoken over our lives for years. The self-fulfilling prophecy. You're prophesying death. You're prophesying all these negative things over your life when you open your mouth. So I ask you again, what are you going to do with your spoken word? How are you going to communicate from this day forward after this message? The Bible clearly teaches that the words you speak do matter. They really do matter. Most people were not taught this dynamic spoken word, and they did not think what they said mattered. And oh God, that is what the body of Christ is so weak and rejected. And the body of Christ has been so torn down until they don't even believe what they say matters. So as a spiritual being in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, when you speak, you affect things in the natural and the spiritual realm. Listen to that. Remember that. Every time you open your mouth, and you begin to prophesy, you begin to have the negative, depreciating words come out of your mouth, just remember, you affect things in the natural, and you affect things in the spiritual. That's why Jesus taught his disciples that the words people speak are spirit and they are life. Your words set spiritual things in motion. With your words, you transact business in the spiritual realm.
So you would never, ever, ever open the realm of the spirit or the spirit realm, or even your words will never even touch the heavenlies, because there's always negativity coming out of your mouth. There's always a conspiracy of negative words coming out of your mouth. There's always fulfilling prophecies that you speak, those negative self-fulfilling prophecies that you speak over your life that are killing the moment of an open heaven over your life. God really wants to come into our lives. He wants to come down. He wants the heavens to open up over our lives. But every time we open our mouth, we close the heavens, because those words and those thoughts and that mindset and no faith is not of God. So with your words, you should be transacting business, spiritual business in the realm of the spirit. And as you read, life and death are in, as you read it, life and death are in your mouth. And you will reap whatever words you sow, people of God. Hear me today. All the negative words, everything you reap, you're going to sow it. Whatever comes out of your mouth, you're going to reap it. So here is what the Bible says about words. Hebrews 3:11-3. He says, by faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. Even when you look over there in the beginning, it says, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In the beginning, Genesis. He talks about that. And he begins to speak over that. But he begins to speak out of his mouth words that are explosive. Words that have life in them. Words that would do what they said. He says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God says, let there be light, and there was light. So everything that in this chapter is not self-depreciating words. These are spirit-filled words. These are heaven-shaking words. These are words that when they spoke, things begin to happen. And that's what the same thing that happened in Genesis, the same God that we serve and the same person and the Holy Spirit's on the inside of us, we should be speaking words and things will begin to happen. The heavens will begin to shake after what we speak. Open heavens will begin to open over people's lives when we speak the word of God over their lives. And so here he says, In Mark 4:38-40, he says, he created man in his image, a living, speaking spirit like himself. Man, like his creator, was given the power of words and of faith to rule and reign on the planet. This is what he created us. He created us as a speaking spirit. You are a speaking spirit. If the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, you are a speaking spirit. And you need to understand that you are a speaking spirit. So over time, every time you open your mouth, do not let death come out of your mouth, but let life penetrate out of your mouth. So it says over in John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and in life. Mark 11:23 says, for surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this mountain in faith, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now this passage explains the true power of words. Yes. Words are very powerful. Yes. And then, like I said just earlier, in Genesis, God created everything with his word. And the phrase is continuously repeated all through Genesis 1, chapter 1. God said, let there be. God said, let there be. Everything that God spoke came to pass, and it was declared good. Words are spiritual vehicles. Hear me clearly. Hear me real. Words are spiritual vehicles. Your words are spiritual vehicles, and God used them to create the earth. Words are spiritual vehicles. If God used them to create the earth, just think what can come out and what can manifest as your words, become spiritual vehicles, and that they will go. And every time you speak and the spiritual vehicles of words come up out of you, then God will begin to do something in the midst of your words. He will not let his words fall to the ground, because your faith is activated to open your mouth to say whatever God says and believe that God says it and that God can do it. So your words have the same type of power. Your words, my words have the same type of power. So that's why the Bible teaches that one who believes that what he or she says will happen, it will come to pass. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth and things will start to happen. Open up your mouth by faith and things will begin to happen. Open up your mouth by faith and things, God will begin to turn things around. Those things that those circumstances, those situations that are out of control, that child that's out of control, I dare you to speak faith-filled words over that child. When your money is funny, I dare you to speak to that curve, the currency of heaven, the currency of heaven. I dare you to speak life out of your mouth and speak the word over it by faith. So the first area that your words affect is the spiritual realm. Remember that. The first area your words affect is the spiritual realm. Angels are dispatched in response to your words. Hear me again. Let me say that again. Angels are dispatched in the response of your words. Psalms 103, 20 and 22. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, there's that word dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. When you speak forth God's word, angels are on assignment to execute them. Oh, yes, that's the reason why in the book of Daniel, Daniel 10, we talk about Daniel 10 and 12. It says, Daniel called out to God in prayer. He says, for 21 days, he waited for a response. But when the angel appeared, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. I have come because of your words. Look at that. See that? Angels will come because of your words. Angels will come quickly and swiftly because of your faith-filled words. And if you're walking in faith and living by faith, and you open your mouth, and your mouth becomes the spiritual vehicle that it's supposed to be, then the angels will come quickly and swiftly to heed your words. This is a good reminder to you that when you are speaking your word, when you are speaking, your words are not just going into an empty space. Remember that, people of God. When you open your mouth, your words are not going into an empty space. Don't let the enemy trick you to make you feel and think that your words are going into an empty place, especially if you're in faith. So when you say faith confessions, you have set the powers of heaven in motion. Ah, glory to God. Glory to God. You should also know that in the same way angels are listening to perform the faith-filled words that you speak, demon forces around the corners are activated too, are restrained by your words as well. Either those negative, if the negative is coming out of your mouth, then the angels are activated. If the faith-filled, powerful words are coming out your mouth, words that have life, then what is happening? Angels are released. So every evil force is halted by the authoritative. Oh, God, I love this. Oh, this is good to me. Every evil force is halted by the authoritative, faith-filled words that you speak. Every one of them. Jesus modeled this for the believer. He said that then the devil led Jesus to the top of the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. And the devil said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things. Jesus said to the devil, go away from me, Satan. It is written in the scripture, we must worship the Lord our God and serve only him. Look at those faith-filled words. Look at those words Jesus is speaking out of his mouth. They're transmitting to angels. They're opening up the heavens as he speaks these words. You must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And so the devil left Jesus and the angels came and took him and took care of him. That's what happened. We said earlier, the angels came. He says, and bless the Lord, all his works and all his dominion, and bless the Lord. And he says, the ministers of his word, the angels came who excel in strength, who do what? Your words. Who do the words of God. So immediately when he spoke that, when Jesus said, go away from me, Satan, it is written in the scripture, he immediately opened up the heavens. He immediately summons the angels to come into his midst. And it says right here, it says you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And that's what he told Satan. And then he says, so the devil left Jesus and the angels came and took care of him. Wow. Can you just imagine opening up your mouth and speaking the word of God with faith-filled conviction? Then angels would begin to disperse and come around you. And it was just so funny. When I was up preaching Sunday, I really, really enjoyed the Thanksgiving. Lord have mercy. God was just really, really blessing through that word. And there was a word that came forth after I sat down and a seer, and we got many seers in our ministry. And a seer came and at the service, and she began to tell me, she said, Apostle, what I saw when you went and sat down, you sat down in your chair. And it's almost like you leaned over. When you sat down, there were a pair of angels' wings that hovered over you. And she said, as they hovered over you, it's almost like you bowed down a little bit more and bowed down. And then she said, I saw the angels put a crown upon your head. So right there, I understand that when God's word, when God's faith-filled words are spoken from a believing heart, things begin to happen. Jesus defended the devil's attack with words. And that's, I feel God right now. Jesus defended off the devil's attack with words. And so here we go. The faith-filled words are spoken. And from that believing heart, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. That's what will begin to happen. When you speak faith-filled words, when you speak the word of God by faith, and you know that the word of God is going out with life in it, and you know that it is about to do what it needs to do, it will not come back to you, come back void, but God says it will attend to what it needs to attend to. And then these things begin to happen, and these words were spoken, and God began to change our atmosphere. Things began to happen. Things began to open up. On the other hand, fear. When fear comes in, fear-filled words restrain angels and release demons. When you talk fear-filled words, they restrain your angels. They make it null and void and no effect. The angels cannot come to fear-filled words because they restrain angels, but they will release demons. The forces of evil are released when you speak words of doubt and fear. Let me say that again. The forces of evil are released when you speak words of doubt and fear. You must make certain that you never serve as a confirming witness against your future. My God, I love the Lord today. I only got 3 more minutes and then I'm gonna leave you with this. Even though confession is important, and we said earlier, confession is important. The word of God says confession is important. Many believers start out making confessions of faith, but then they stop. That is our problem. We'll start something, and because we don't see something yesterday, we don't see it tomorrow. Of course, when we don't see it when we started, then we stop. Bad place to be. First, there are 6 reasons why believers stop confessing God's word. This is 6 reasons. These 6 reasons I'm going to give you why you quit confessing God's word. The first one is, when natural circumstances are more real than spiritual truth, you will lose your resolve to continue to speak what God says. Natural circumstances have a voice. It cries out to them. If that voice drowns out God's voice, they lose their confidence in faith-filled words and start agreeing with their circumstances. That's the reason why you have to get in the word. The necessity of the word is so important that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he says, I will lift a standard up. What will be the standard? It will be the word of God. So you have to make sure that you understand that your natural circumstances are more real than the spirit. So you have to make that resolve. You have to continue to speak God's word no matter what it seems like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what you're feeling. You got to keep doing that, because I'm going to tell you, faith has never been a feeling. I mean, other things you can feel in, other things you can have a feeling about in this walk. I'm not saying that you don't have to have a feeling, but by faith, you cannot walk in faith and feel nothing. So you have to just know it. Know it without a shadow of a doubt. I know that I know that I know that I'm saved, or something like that. I know that I know that I know. And I'm going to speak this confession over my life. And I'm going to speak it until something happens. The second one, some people are just not comfortable with speaking what their natural eyes cannot see. Faith is a lifestyle. If people have not fully embraced the reality of the world, which the eyes cannot see, they will not have a conviction that spiritual forces are listening to what they are saying. So these people will still speak negative words and not positive words. My third one. Some think that confessing God's word will forfeit receiving assistance from others. If someone speaks words of abundance, they may forfeit the help of someone from whom they were hoping to get some money from. Wow, look at that. People shut their mouths down because they're looking for somebody else to bless them, looking for somebody else to say something to them, looking for somebody else to encourage them. These people think that poor mouthing will produce lasting results. Some will respond to the type of talking, but some people will speak lack and won't and will soon be found out. And the help that they desire will not come. So your words cannot be used to manipulate people. You make a fake confession over your life today. You must involve God in your life. If you involve God in your life, God can then work on the heart of a person, and you will not even have to ask. Don't use your words to manipulate people. Use your faith to move God. Let me say that again. Don't use your words to manipulate people. Use your faith to move God to work on your behalf. He is the best partner that we could ever have. And I'm going to do this last one and I'm out of here. Number four. Some people need acceptance from others who do not understand faith, and they do not make consistent faith confessions. When people are intimidated by the doubts of others, oh my, they are intimidated by the doubts of others. You have to understand your victory by using your mouth will silence all the opposition to faith confessions. Say that again. Your victory by using your mouth will silence all opposition to your faith confessions. You must hold your course. You must hold your course. People of God, whoever you're listening, I say to you again, hold your course in your faith walk. Don't let your faith fail you, because it is the standard of our lives. It is the standard of everything that we do. It's done by faith. And everywhere we go and everything we understand and everything we don't understand is still by faith. We are not moving in the things of God or in the realm of God because we do not understand that our words mean something to God. So I ask you and I leave with you, study the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. The more you study the word, the more you read the word, the more your faith will grow. Only can faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I hear the word. So what I'm asking you to do, don't just read the word to yourself. Open up your mouth and speak the words out into the atmosphere. Speak the words out in the atmosphere like this. In the beginning, not in your mind. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And it says all through this, he says, let there be, and there was light. Let there be, and there was, oh God, the first day, that light. Let there be, and there was day, darkness. Everything, his faith-filled words that he spoke out of his mouth, the heavens came open over it. And God's heavenly realm came down in the midst. And God performed miracles, signs, and wonders. And I say again, don't let your spoken word be words that are conflicting the word of God. God bless your heart. I pray you enjoy this, and then let the Lord be your speed and your glory and your power. Amen. Bye-bye.